Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Geek Wave. This is the Low Budget Show. It's the show so low it has no budget. But thankfully, we've had two successful episodes that have gone so well. We can do an ill-advised streaming spinoff that's six episodes long, which is literally just written as a movie that we're going to split into six parts and then put it on streaming because content's forever and, you know, everything's just bad and weird and strange. Ah, I love streaming. I love streaming television, folks. We're going to be talking Knuckles today, the hit TV show. The hit TV show. If you aren't aware, Knuckles is out currently. The time of this video going live to you. You can stream all six episodes of Knuckles, the hit TV show, based off the successful franchise Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Idris Elba returns as Knuckles, the echidna. He is in Knuckles, the TV show, on Paramount Plus. It's out. You can watch it. I guess. We have some news to talk about first, which is honestly more interesting than this show. I think I'm just going to keep all like the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise stuff into Geek Wave stuff because I don't know if I want to dedicate like a whole like episode or a review to them. We can just put them in the back half of a huge news breakdown. We have a bunch of news to talk about. A lot of stuff I also don't want to talk about, so we're going to leave those off. And we're just going to keep it light and fresh. Some of this news is a little bit older now, but it's important to bring up because it just kind of goes to show you like the current state of Hollywood and stuff and what's going on with all that stuff. None of it is that good. But whatever. First piece of news. Here's something very interesting you might find interesting. It's very interesting. Have I said it enough? It's interesting. Now You See Me 3 is officially happening. They have been talking about this for a while. I don't understand how this keeps happening. I remember seeing the first film in theaters and being like, yeah, this is pretty fun. It's interesting. It's a cool enough concept. I like all these people well enough to want to see what they work on. The sequel comes out and you're like, yeah, okay, I guess you could do a sequel. Magic heist movie. That's kind of fun. Now a third one? It's been a minute, right? When did that last one come out? Because it feels like it's been a while. 2016 was when the second one came out. So it's been 8 years, and it probably won't be released if they start filming until next year. You're just like, okay, I guess we're still doing these. Is this a franchise people like? Is this successful enough to keep going? It must be. I think the only thing people remember is that Woody Harrelson is in it, and they had like that one sequence where somebody almost drowned in like a vat of water. And then, like, that's, like, Mark Ruffalo, I think, is also set to return. Because he's, like, the guy that works against them. He's, like, I'm, like, the magic cop or something. Daniel Radcliffe was, like, the villain in the last one. Well, they just announced a bunch of cast members returning. And some new additions. Dominic Sessa will be appearing in this new one. Ariana Greenblatt will be appearing in this one as well. You know, people that are up and coming. So that's really fun. The next generation of freaking, you know, magic heist people or their kids or something. What are we doing? I don't know. I like this news because I'm like, yeah, sure. A third one. Now You See Me 3. I love that you just one of the last franchises sticking to the title of adding the number 3 in there. I'm really glad for that. Not Now You 3 Me. Not Now You 3 Me 3 or whatever. Not Now You Don't. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. That's not the name of the second one. I love that. I love that for them. It's really exciting, and I'm kind of glad this is going to happen. I don't understand why it would, but it's happening, and that is enough to celebrate the world getting a little bit better. Here's something else that is happening. An animated series based on Golden Axe, the old school video game, will be in development. That's kind of cool. I know very little about the Golden Axe world. My knowledge of Golden Axe is actually from the Storm Collectibles action figures and like the really cool artwork where it's just like buffed out people in no clothes just fighting dragons and stuff. And I think it's really cool. But yeah, I mean, sure. Set in the land of Yuria, an evil entity known as Death Adder has effectively conquered the continent and captured the king. To free the land, you and your friends would team up and take out Death Adder's forces with an array of melee attacks, magic, and friendly creatures. That's cool. That sounds like you could do like another Castlevania style thing. Castlevania was picked up really well. So that's going to be really interesting. I hope it would be successful. You know, we're in the era of video game adaptations, so there's kind of like a blank slate where you could do something with Golden Axe. If like the right money was behind it, live action could also be the direction to go. But no, I mean, an animated series, that works really well too. I think that's a pretty strong idea. So cool, that's awesome. I suppose. A lot of this news is like, hey, that sounds great. Maybe until you start thinking about it. Which is the case with these next couple pieces of news. So, there was a huge thing that came out the other day, and we saw a bunch of, like, the big directors talking about stuff that's going to be happening with them. For instance, Quentin Tarantino has said he's just not going to be moving forward with The Movie Critic, which was going to be his next film, and instead he's going to work on something else for his 10th film. Whatever, he already made 10 films. I don't care what he says. I really don't care what he says. He already made 10 films. You made two movies in Kill Bill. It's not one movie. They're two separate movies. I don't like that. You made 10. Quit worrying about your legacy. It's actually going to affect you now. You're going to be so worked up and annoying. I'm not a Tarantino guy. I have never been a Tarantino guy. None of his movies are my favorite movies ever. And him having all these stupid ideas about like adding previous people into The Movie Critic, it just sounds like it was going to be like too much. Like, we're going to have, you know, Cliff Booth return and some of like the people from Pulp Fiction and stuff. I'm like, just shut up, dude. This sounds insane. Sounds like something you don't have to make. So it's probably a good thing you're not. If you're so dead set on your next film being your last one, then try harder, I guess. Don't settle for an idea. But also, the fact that you're going to be like so desperate to make the perfect film, it's going to destroy you, and you're not actually going to create anything interesting. You're going to be lost in the shuffle of trying to find the last good thing, and that in itself will destroy your legacy. Not that I think Tarantino's legacy is going to hold up well. I don't think he's going to be a director we're going to be talking about forever. I don't think so anymore. I don't know if he's got the cachet to do that. It's been too long since anyone's been like, yes, finally, Tarantino, let's talk about him and the stuff he does. He's just a little obsessive geek. So I don't think he's going to do all that. Other directors said some big stuff too. Steven Spielberg is reportedly developing a script about a UFO based on like his own whatever. It's an original script. And he's going to be making a UFO movie again. The man's going back to his basics, which you kind of love to see. He got famous and popular doing old sci-fi, the classic rips like Close Encounters and E.T. and that kind of stuff. So yes, let's have the master Spielberg go back to like the classic well and do something very classic over there. That's awesome. I'm all for that. I think that's a really cool idea. I want to see what he's doing. The Fablemans is your swan song, so do whatever you want after that now. I think you were, like, developing Bullet for a minute, too. You're gonna do, like, Bullet. But nah, man, a classic sci-fi story about a UFO? Oh, yeah. That's Spielberg's wheelhouse. And we're just going up in age with a lot of these guys, because 81, 82-year-old Martin Scorsese also talked about a couple of his upcoming projects. So he's still going to be doing like that weird Jesus movie. It's like Miles Teller and Andrew Garfield are rumored to be circling it for whatever reason that would be. So that's cool. And there's like a contemporary thing where it's like modern times. I think Malick too. Didn't like Terrence Malick do like a Jesus or like biblical story? It's like a reimagining or like different thing. It's supposedly coming out this year. Whatever, it's strange that these guys are doing that, but it's like a different take on Jesus, and Scorsese's like, it's 80 minutes long, it's gonna be out there, I don't really feel strongly about it, or whatever. I guess he would, but it's weird. I think making The Last Temptation of Christ kind of like, is the last thing you should ever have to say about the Jesus character. So, whatever this is, I don't know how it's gonna go. But I'm here for it. But that's not the only film he announced. It's also been stated and reported that, oh my goodness, Martin Scorsese will be developing and directing the Frank Sinatra biopic, which, you know what? You say that to me right away, I'm like, that makes sense to me. They're from the same era. There's always reported connections to Sinatra and the mob. That could be really cool. You know, I think there's like a very classic sheen that you could put on a Sinatra thing. I am not against, in any capacity, Scorsese doing that. And then you hear the cast, which would be Leonardo DiCaprio as Frank Sinatra. Probably the least Sinatra guy you could get is DiCaprio. I don't know if he can even sing. And it's weird. I don't think modern day DiCaprio exudes confidence the way Sinatra does. He needs to play a little grimy freak. And Sinatra is just like the king of Riz, the swagger gentleman, you know? He's just like this old Motown genius and that kind of a vibe. And nothing about DiCaprio says that. He does not exude that energy at all and should not be somebody attached to that. It's very weird that you would pick him. But I know they're friends, so working together is good. And yeah, I mean, just looking at Killers of the Flower Moon, that is not the energy you'd see from an actor that should play Frank Sinatra. Now, the time this video comes out, I will have done my review of Challengers, and we just had Mike Feist show up on that movie. And you see that guy, we know he can sing. He looks very handsome. Perhaps that should be the guy you get to play Sinatra. Or hell, what about Woody Allen's son, Ronan Farrow? I know Ronan's not an actor, but come on, man. You got Woody Allen's genes running through your veins. That's the most Sinatra you could look. So that's stupid. And then it gets even weirder for this movie because they're thinking Jennifer Lawrence for Ava Gardner. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No. Jennifer Lawrence, like, you are picking two people who have none of the energy that comes from them that you need for Sinatra or Gardner. There's nothing about DiCaprio that screams Frank Sinatra. There is nothing about Jennifer Lawrence that screams Ava Gardner. I don't know why anybody would want these to happen with those people attached to it. It feels very strange, and I don't really like that. But it'll probably never happen. He's 82 years old. You know, and he's kind of like Ridley Scott, but Ridley Scott doesn't give a shit if the movie's good or not. He's just filming stuff. So I don't know how it's going to go. We'll see, I guess. It could be anything. We have a couple of trailers to talk about. Transformers 1 got a trailer, the huge prequel. Like, you know, how Willy became Wonka, how Orion Pax became Optimus Prime, how D-26 or D-16-4 or whatever became Megatron. It's a children's movie. I didn't think it was going to be a children's movie. It's really specific animation that I'm not 100% convinced on. But I like Transformers. I think you could do something fun here. And a coming-of-age tale in the Transformers universe, well, that's not something we've seen. You know, we've seen kids in Transformers. All of the cartoons have, like, a child hanging out with them. So why not do this? I mean, sure, something to that. To the surprise of a lot of people, I think it's pretty clear that Hemsworth is willing to do a voice similar to Peter Cullen, so that's kind of cool to see. I'm not against this. I'm not 100% involved in it, but I will see it because Transformers is kind of cool, and it's probably more interesting than whatever the next live-action sequel is going to be, which is probably going to be that Transformers G.I. Joe crossover, which I guess is skewed more towards like my demographic of like old dudes who talk about stuff online. But also, I've talked about this numerous times before, nobody gives a shit about G.I. Joe except for people who buy the toys. It's not a brand people care about. Larry Hama's doing the comic book again. I don't know if anybody's truly that invested. But anyways, there you go. That's one. We have another trailer to talk about, which is for the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, which is called Trap. We talked about this in the last episode. They showed footage over at CinemaCon. Now we got an official trailer. It looks so good. I think Shyamalan is so good of like a mid-level budget, getting an actor who's very undervalued. Last time around, it was Dave Bautista. This time around, it's Josh Hartnett, two guys I love. And now he's just like, we're trapped in a concert. We're going to catch a serial killer. Now, the trailer gives away the premise, which it should, because that's easy, and then it just sets you up for whatever the twist might be, if there is one. Even if there isn't one, that is really good tension to know going into a movie like this, where it's just, how is he going to get out of this? Are we going to root for him? Are we not going to root for him? Who knows? Is his daughter the killer? A lot of people are theorizing that. Maybe. I don't think it's his daughter. I feel like that'd be too obvious. I think it's going to be something even less obvious. It could just be him, or like his neighbor or something like that, or like his wife or something. We don't see the wife. Maybe she's trapped at home or something. Who knows? Let's get more Josh Hartnett and everything. I love this guy. I want to see him succeed more. He's so cool and awesome. He's really fun and deserving of everything. Let him have it, please. This looks awesome. I can't wait for this. And speaking of things that are kind of awesome, I want to throw this in because it's definitely worth talking about. For All Mankind, which is a show on Apple TV, is getting ready for its fifth season. Season 5 of a streaming show. When was the last time that happened? I can't even remember. Like, they're going to do 5 seasons of this before Stranger Things gets fifth season. That's crazy. Like, I genuinely can't think of another show that made it to 5 seasons. Ted Lasso didn't make it to 5 seasons. Like, something straight to streaming. The Boys is going into season 4. And I can't even remember. It's crazy to think a show's getting 5 seasons. And it's getting a spinoff, which is about, like, a different... I think it's about, like, the Soviet race for space or something like that. It takes place in, like, this... I haven't caught up on For All Mankind. I probably should watch it because it sounds so freaking good. And I probably will watch it eventually. I keep saying that. But I will get to it. I'm just so happy that in this day and age, a show could get to 5 seasons and a spinoff. And we're pleasantly surprised by it. It's kind of exciting. It makes me happy. I'm glad this show is doing so well. I like that a lot. And we have one final piece of news to talk about. This one, it's kind of interesting if you know the director and you know the person involved. This is about Park Chan-wook. He currently has his sympathizer show airing, which is kind of popular. I'm really liking it, actually. Like, 2 episodes are out by the time this is being recorded. I liked it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Well, it sounds like Old Boy, which is like his masterclass in cinema from 20 years ago, maybe even more than 20 years ago. Well, they're looking to make an English version of it for television from Lionsgate. So Park Chan-wook is going to develop it. He's probably going to produce it in some capacity, maybe even direct it, because we see him directing some American stuff again with The Sympathizer. So it's kind of cool, but I'm just like, wow. So some of you might not remember this, and I'm just going to briefly talk about it, but Park Chan-wook, he worked on a couple things in America for a bit. He made one movie called Stoker, which was like a weird Dracula thing. Then he went back to Korea for a bit. He made some great stuff over there, like The Handmaiden and Decision to Leave. And now he's back in like his Hollywood era. He's working with Robert Downey Jr. on The Sympathizer. And it's just kind of interesting to think that he's back in Hollywood. And the first thing they want from him is an Old Boy remake for English language. It's a lot like Mark Ruffalo working on that Parasite TV series. You're just like taking these classic Korean directors and their projects and being like, can we make this for America so people get it? You're losing a lot of the translation when you do that. And Old Boy, while it could work in English, it's probably not gonna. But whatever. It's gonna be for somebody, I guess. I don't know. It's very strange and weird, but whatever. It could be fine. Or it could be bad. It's probably gonna be bad, but who's to say? Well, that's gonna do it. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about a streaming miniseries that I have said since from episode 1 feels like a way to launder money. So I'm recording this half a little late, which means there's some more news that came out that we can talk about right now. Jeff Bridges will be returning to Tron Ares. Cool. Still not getting me excited to see that movie. You're getting closer, but that's not how you win me over. Also, Netflix is making a live-action Scooby-Doo movie, or TV show, or whatever. Bad idea. You haven't won me over on any of those, Netflix. You're doing bad at everything. But there is another streaming service who is in the streaming game who have yet to report like any major numbers about any of their streaming stuff. I love this. I love talking about like a straight-to-streaming spin-off series to a movie in an era when we just found out that Peacock lost like $500 million in the last quarter. It makes me really happy. Honestly, it does, because this is all bullshit. So Paramount Plus, a while ago, they had like a big press release, and one of the things in the press release was that a Knuckles the Echidna spinoff TV show would be in development for Paramount Plus, which made a lot of sense. One thing I will commend Paramount Plus for doing better than some other places is really making their child-friendly brands very obvious and well-stated on their app, on their platform. You know, they got some good stuff for Transformers and Ninja Turtles and Dora the Explorer and SpongeBob. And I think that's really cool that they've made all of those very accessible and very easy to find there. And I guess Sonic the Hedgehog is one of those brands as well. So, you know, we talked about the previous two Sonic the Hedgehog movies on the Geek Wave. I'm not, like, the biggest fan. I still think they should have kept the original design for Sonic. I don't like that they were bullied into changing it. Like, stick true to your guns. If that design went through, though, I don't think we'd be where we are today. And that's either a good thing or a bad thing. It's up to you to really decide if that's a good or bad thing. But I guess it's a good thing? I don't know. I don't know anymore. It's all crazy. So we had two Sonic movies. In the second Sonic movie, Knuckles the Echidna showed up. He was voiced by Idris Elba, and basically he was like, he was dumb, he was kind of like simple-minded, but he's more like, I am the way of the warrior, I can do everything a warrior can, I am an echidna warrior. Just kind of simple in the way, like, this guy's never had a day off in his life to relax or learn anything. They don't play him stupid. He's not like the smartest guy, but they don't play him stupid, which I appreciate. But I guess there was so much, like, success from the introduction of Knuckles that we could get a spinoff on Paramount, which is crazy. And literally, like, just the basic idea that our flagship movie from Paramount could get a streaming show spinoff, that is just from a different era of Hollywood. And by different era, I mean, like, that is such like a COVID era where we can just put stuff on streaming and no one's going to think about it again. It just screams of like, we want to make a Falcon and Winter Soldier type of story. And I'm like, I guess you do. And I guess Knuckles is a more interesting one to do than Tails, because you haven't introduced anybody else. Now we have rumors and set leaks, whatever you want to say, for like Sonic 3. We know Shadow will be in it. I think there's rumors that Amy is going to show up. And I could imagine that a Shadow movie will be in development after that. And I could imagine that's going to lead to, like, Rouge and Omega. And I could imagine that's going to lead to, like, Espio and Vector and Carmi and all that stuff. Maybe. I don't really know where we're going to go. But before any of that even happens, we have a Knuckles spinoff, which, in classic spinoff fashion, really doesn't do anything for anybody and isn't really anything. This show is so interesting to me solely because it's not a real idea. Does that make sense? This doesn't feel like there was like an earnest idea somebody had. It definitely feels like a show that exists because Paramount wanted a Sonic property on their streaming service. And they're like, well, what if we did a Knuckles show? Adam Pauly is a guy that we could get for cheap. We can have the side character in the side character movie lead a TV show, which is crazy. It's crazy. It's utterly insane to take the supporting character's supporting character and make him the co-lead of this spinoff. That is a bold thing to do. Truly, unapologetically, that is a very bold thing to do. And then you see some of the cast that is going to be appearing in the Knuckles TV show. Christopher Lloyd will voice Pachacamac, I don't know, an elder of the, you know, Sonic world or the Echidna world. Rory McCain. He's going to be playing the Dr. Robotnik adjacent character. And Stockard Channing. You're like, Stockard Channing? Why is she going to be in this? What? like I didn't know the cast too well before going into this one. And as soon as Stockard Channing showed up, I'm like, are you kidding me? Why is she doing this? Does she need money? There's no way that she needs money, right? And look, Cary Elwes, he'll do anything. The dude is in more stuff than anybody I've ever known. It's crazy. He plays Pistol Pete. He plays his... So Stockard Channing... Okay, Adam Pauly leads this show. Wade Whipple, he is like the deputy sheriff of Green Hills. He is like James Marsden's sidekick in the first two movies. He is the lead in this. His parents are played by Cary Elwes and Stockard Channing. And I'm just like... This is a spin-off to a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Like, why are these people in this? I mean, Christopher Lloyd's a guy that'll do anything. And Cary Elwes is a guy that'll do anything. But Stockard Channing? That's insane. Rory McCain? Could he not get any better work? I really like him. He should be like a heavy and a lot more stuff than just the bad guy in the Sonic spin-off. That is... truly crazy and a weird place to put him. I don't really understand that. Very weird. It's very weird. I don't understand. Like, this show is so bizarre to me because it doesn't feel like a real show. It has like the hollowness of we filmed everything without there being like a Knuckles on set. So it's just people blankly looking at a thing, but almost done more poorly. This looks like a really shoddy put-together streaming show, which I guess makes sense because it's for kids. Now, I say it's for kids, but nothing about this show really seems to be aimed for children. Even the title and the opening credits... it's done over to The Warrior, that classic 80s song. No kids care about that. Like, we are seeing a generation of kids that don't care about 80s nostalgia. It's not affecting them. So when you're doing, like, the, you know, classic 16-bit pixel, like, here's the font and, like, the characters done in, like, that classic video game style... do these kids know that what that is or care about it? I really wonder. And even so, like, that's fun as a little joke for, like, the title cards and all that stuff. It's fun and interesting. But then, like, the base premise of this show is just so haphazardly, and it's such a half-baked concept that none of it feels real. None of it feels like an idea. It is six episodes of this. Here's the basic premise for the show. Knuckles can't fit into normal living with Sonic and Tails, so he wants to find somebody. He gets a visit from like his Yoda, which is Christopher Lloyd's Pachacamac or whatever, who's like, you should go help Wade. Wade, played by Adam Pauly, classic comedian, is struggling to be, like, perceived as cool. So, Knuckles wants to help him find, like, his groove or whatever you want to say it is. What that means is they're going to go on a road trip to Reno, Nevada, where they're going to go to a bowling tournament. And in the bowling tournament, Wade's going to prove that he is great at bowling, and that's how he's going to get his confidence. Along the way, they are attacked by two agents called Mason and Willoughby, who are kind of incompetent and silly. They go to Wade's family home, where we meet Stockard Channing and his sister, who is played by, who is it? Eddie Patterson. And she's an FBI agent or something or whatever. And then the house gets attacked. And then we go to Reno and we do the bowling tournament, and then, you know, we get attacked by Rory McCann for a bit. And you're like, okay. And you're like, what is this? Why is the premise of the Knuckles spinoff show helping Wade get his groove back in bowling? It's very weird. Now, I know we can't get James Marsden for this show, and I know we probably didn't even ask him. But I'm just like, okay, Adam Pauly, I guess he's a fun comedian. Can he sustain 6 episodes of a children's show? No. Because his humor, it's skewed more towards, like, The Boys, you know? Not The Boys, the TV show, but, like, The Boys, where you're like, you're a bro, you're a buddy, you're a pal, you're an old chip off the block, you know? One of those, not like children's humor. It's not like we're doing Ben Schwartz where he can do, like, a silly TikTok. This guy is for The Boys. And that is not something that kids care about. So, it's so weird what we do. More than one occasion, we have to watch as Wade tries to prove that he's capable of fighting and being strong, and he's not, and that he's a buff-it-all. He's got a weird relationship with his dad because his dad is Pistol Pete, like the best bowler of all time or something. It's very weird. And then in like one of the episodes, I think it's like episode 4, like he gets kidnapped by a bounty hunter who's his best friend. And he has like a vision quest where he talks to Christopher Lloyd, and he gets like a rock opera sung to him about the origin of Knuckles. And then Michael Bolton shows up to sing that song too. And you're just like, what is happening? What is happening in this show? That's not a joke for children. Children don't know who Michael Bolton is. Is your target audience like aware of this? Is your target audience for like this era of Sonic older? Because I can't imagine a kid like really loving the banter between Mason and Willoughby, or like the classic like jokes about like the Sabbath and stuff that we see going on. Like, no kid knows who Stalker Channing is. It's very strange the things we put into this show, because none of it makes a lick of sense for like a young person who is a fan of this. Like, I don't know, aside from the first episode, because Tails and Sonic are in it, and a character from the movie, Maddie, appears, aside from them in that first episode, I don't think there's anything in here appealing to children. I don't think there's anything in here that's just like appealing. It is just so simply like created. You can see continuity errors where sometimes Knuckles will pick something up or place it on a table, and we cut to the next scene, it's no longer on the table. Like, there is nothing really real about this show. It is such a slapdash, haphazardly, basically unreal thing that exists for no apparent reason. For nobody. There's no specific aim for this. Kids don't care about, like, the 80s nostalgia or, like, I'm a grown man and I listen to some cool music and Knuckles has to find the way. And there are literal 20-minute segments where Knuckles does not appear. He's a supporting character. He is a supporting character. This is a story about Wade Whipple, that character that I don't know if he was anybody's favorite character in the Sonic movies, but he is in, like, at least 70% of every scene. Except for maybe the first episode. And it's just him coming back home. He's a disappointment. He's okay. There's a fight. He makes up with his family. He's a kid who can't outgrow, like, you know, I really was just like, I don't like how they betrayed him. I still don't like this type of, like, man-child character where it's just like he's a deadbeat loser because he likes movies and video games and classic rock music and stuff, and he can never get his life together. Just because he's a schlubby guy, we have to portray a character like this way. I really don't like that. I think it's just so lazy. And I mean, Pauly, sure, if he wants to accept that, it's fine. I mean, but like, I don't know what anybody would want to do in this. I don't know why anybody would want to be a part of this. Because there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. It's so annoying how much this isn't anything. There isn't anything to this except boredom and stupid jokes, and it doesn't really culminate into anything. And we hold on to scenes for so long because we have to stretch this out. This definitely feels like it could have been like a 90-minute movie. And it's pretty close. Isn't 90 minutes? We're doing like 25-minute episodes. So we're going to be a little over 90. But you could cut out a lot of this. And you know what you could even do that would be more interesting? Is just let Knuckles be in the show more. And have him, like, talk to Sonic, you know, on, like, a phone or something. Or maybe, like, Tails radios in or something. Not just, like, him sitting in a car with, like, this man-child who can't, like, who every word out of his mouth is just, like, a joke or, like, a reaction to something somebody says. It's not, like, a real conversation half the time. And then I guess I will say, like, the acting's fine. The scripts are bad, but Cary Elwes, he's been doing this forever. Like, this specific character. I'm Errol Flynn! Ha ha ha! And he's fine at it. And I have nothing against the actors that play Mason and Willoughby. I don't think that's a role that's great. But I know why you do it. You know? I get it. You know, I do think Eddie Patterson does fine with what she's given, which isn't anything. And Christopher Lloyd does a good voice. Like, he is very good at doing a voice. There's nothing to this. There's nothing to this. And it's crazy. Like, this is the Knuckles show. Like, the Knuckles spinoff is him getting to Reno with Adam Pauly for a bowling tournament, and then a Dr. Robotnik, like, poser, because he used to work for Robotnik, shows up to attack him. They defeat him easily through the power of bowling and inner strength or whatever, and then it's like, well, that was a fun mission, pal. I guess we're done here. I learned the value of being a warrior. Did you? Did you really? Okay. I mean, you must have. Because we resolved the plot. So that's good. Oh, God. Is this anything? It's not. It's really not. God. And it just, it, like, I know this one is not a real idea. This is Paramount telling Jeff Fowler, like, can you please get us a spinoff on Paramount Plus so we have some Sonic content for the masses. Now, there was also, like, the recent statements that Paramount wants to make the Sonic franchise into, like, the Marvel franchise, where the movies are, like, the big blockbusters to go see. I mean, sure. You do realize that Sonic is a very popular character, and that everyone's gonna see that no matter what, right? Like, you don't have to turn it into, like, an endgame level thing where everybody only shows up to be in the movies. Because I cannot imagine how boring these other spinoffs would be if you do more of these types of shows on Paramount Plus. Like, what else could we do? Would we get, like, a Cookies and Cream spinoff where they hang out with, like, you know, Katie Seagal or something, and then, like, who's, like, a legacy actor? Tamara Morrison shows up, and I'm the bad guy, and something like that. Or, like, Jet, and, like, who are the ones that, who are the birds that are with Jet in, like, the weird, like, surfing one? What if they, like, have a spinoff where we gotta go snowboard down this hill, and we're gonna do it with Zach Galifianakis? And you're just like, I guess that's nothing. It only works with Sonic because you can kind of make Sonic into this young, adorkable goofball because Ben Schwartz is capable of that. And the character of Sonic can play that. He can make TikTok videos. He can be a viral star or whatever. And what you did with Knuckles here, making him be like, I'm going to be the warrior to teach you the lessons, Wade. You're like, that joke only works maybe as like the B plot in like a different movie, not as an entire 6-episode series. Ridiculous, preposterous, stupid. Just plain stupid. This movie is stupid. It's not even a movie. I'm sorry. This show is stupid. I do not like this. This was a waste of everyone's time. This feels like it was created so we could launder money into getting like Keanu to play Shadow. It's ridiculous. But it's for kids, I guess. I guess it's for kids. If kids love The Warrior by Scandal, I guess this is for kids. I guess. So, Knuckles, I'm going to give this show a 3 out of 10. Now, that is going to do it for this Knuckles talk. We will be back on the Geek Wave to talk Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and more possibilities for the franchise after that comes out. So, by the end of this year, you will see another Sonic the Hedgehog episode of this show. Thank you all for watching. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel. As always, you can check me out on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And of course, I will catch you in the next one. Have fun. Stay safe. Good luck.